Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Frame. Mother's Day is almost here. What are you getting her? Something that shows you care. Something that makes her feel loved. Something that won't stress you out. Something like the Skylight Frame. The Skylight Frame is the perfect gift. It's a touchscreen photo frame your whole family can upload photos to, from wherever they are in the world. It's a way to share with her all the moments that matter. It sets up in seconds. You can even make sure that it's already loaded with photos when your mom opens her Mother's Day gift. And her Skylight Frame can hold thousands of the treasured photos you share. It's an easy, heartfelt way for mom to stay connected with those who matter most. It really is the perfect gift. Now, as a special Mother's Day offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight Frame when you go to skylightframe.com/easy. That's SKYLIGHTFRAME.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightframe.com/easy.
Presented here is a free teaser for this month's edition of the Top Rope Nation Classics Patreon bonus podcast. Every single month, we release a deep dive on a classic wrestling event as voted on by our supporters on Patreon. It's a true historical deep dive. The only place to hear these shows in full? Join the Patreon page for just $5 per month. The link is right here in the podcast description. Patreon is the best way to support the show. So click that link in the episode description and read all about it and enjoy this special free preview. There we go. A little special intro for you here for the 49th edition of Top Rope Nation Classics for our beautiful Patreon supporters. I am Ryan Drosty here with Jesse Velasquez, Justin Joint, and 13 months after we last reviewed a world-class championship wrestling show on the broadcast, I've got a whole different crew with me. Last year, last November, Kyle and I did Thanksgiving Star Wars 1983. Tonight, we're doing Christmas Star Wars 1982. Really, you guys, where it all began. Jesse, how are you feeling tonight, sir?
Two things are guaranteed. Diamonds are forever, and so is Top Rope Nation. So other than this cold that I'm sporting, I am feeling fantastic, very energized, and ready to dive into some 1982 world-class championship wrestling, something that obviously I was not watching at that time because I was 2 years old.
Man, you had the layup right there, Jesse. It was despite this cold that I'm sportatorium.
Yeah. Shucks. God damn it. You could have done it.
That was
next
bad
time.
Joint. That was bad.
Next time.
Dad jokes are getting really, really good in terms of like how my delivery and everything. People are like, yeah, you've definitely been a father for a little while now. So yeah, I just got to learn from you guys. You've been a father a little bit longer.
I love it. Well, Jesse, before we get to Justin here, let me ask you, because I mean, you've got some background with world-class wrestling and you guys didn't get to talk about this when we did the show last year, obviously. So Jesse, what's your history with this promotion, if any at all?
I'd say it's probably the fourth federation that I was introduced to, with AWA being first, WWF second, Crockett third. World Class came in fourth, and because it was on ESPN in the early 87, I believe it was, so I was able to kind of catch up on that, and with all the magazines that I was reading even at that time. I knew who the Von Erichs were. I just didn't know like the legend behind them. I didn't know anything about Fritz and his previous history in the 60s and the upbringing, moving from New Jersey to Texas, the whole story. So But I would watch it when I'd come home. It was always on ESPN either. And then they ended up moving to the USWA as well, I believe, in the late 80s, early 90s. And I would watch some of that too. So it was always in my rotation after school. I enjoyed it. It was really, really good stuff. Fan of the South when it comes to the Texas wrestling.
Yeah. Justin Joint, what's your history with world-class wrestling?
Man, borderline non-existent. I had a couple wrestling books as a kid that were, you know, unaffiliated with any promotion. And I'm pretty sure it made mention of world class in one of those books, or at least there were some pictures. I vividly remember a picture of Ric Flair at an outdoor show that I'm like 90% sure it's from the Parade of Champions show where Kerry finally beat him for the world title. But I'm not for sure. I actually spent an embarrassingly large amount of time today trying to find those books online with no luck. But I would say, like, it had to have been years even after Kerry committed suicide before I really knew anything about the history of the Von Erichs, because he was most certainly just Texas Tornado to me. That was the, the totality of everything I knew about the Von Erichs for a very long time, because I don't remember seeing it on ESPN. There's a good chance I did, but I just didn't know what it was or what I was watching. But it might not have been until really the network that I really got to dig into it. So yeah, I mean, almost nothing for me.
Yeah. So I talked about this last year, and if I change my story at all, Justin, I know you recently listen to that podcast, so if I explained it differently, you can tell me I'm full of shit right now. But my history with world-class wrestling is also very little. And look, I wasn't even born when the show happened. The show was almost exactly a year from when I was born, a little over 12 months later, Ryan Droste made his appearance. But you guys were young, like about 2 years old, so you wouldn't have been watching around this time or have any memory of that, at least. And I don't remember even really hearing about World Class until, kind of similar to Justin, I think it would have been in the wrestling magazines like mid-90s. And I believe it was one of the Pro Wrestling Illustrated almanacs, maybe, where I first really started. Because, I mean, I knew Kerry, you know, I knew Texas Tornado, but I didn't know about his history when I was watching him in real time. I was so young. And I didn't know anything about the brothers at that age in the early 90s. And then, yeah, when I got to like 10, 11, 12 years old, I was getting the Pro Wrestling Illustrated almanacs, and I loved those so much, and I look forward to them. And there was a lot of information in those, and I remember reading about David in one of those for sure. But I didn't watch any full shows until years later. I think a few episodes I got in tape trading, but definitely not till the network when I was able to really dive in. I don't really remember seeing it on ESPN, to my knowledge. You know, I know they were on, and they were basic when they had the ESPN contract. The promotion still existed for a little while, like Jesse said, but they were mostly airing old stuff, you know, from the heyday. But I do not remember really watching it as a kid, and just coming back to it years later. Is that pretty much what I said in the other episode, Justin?
Yeah, it was, for the most part. Yeah. So I won't say you're full of shit.
I definitely didn't see most of the Von Erich brothers until probably early 2000s at the earliest, I would say. I've gone back and watched a lot of stuff, but
they might have replaced the AWA on ESPN at that time in the 80s, in the 87-88 range, because AWA had a contract with them in late 85. We talked about that a little bit with WrestleRock, and then it all of a sudden went off the air. Here comes World Class. So there was still a demand for wrestling in the late 80s on cable television.
Welcome to World Class Championship Wrestling. Tonight, Wrestling Star Wars Reunion Arena in downtown Dallas. And
all right, so this is one of the signature shows at the Reunion Arena in Dallas. They would always run the major events there, and they would do massive attendance. They got around 18,000 in the building for this show. According to Gary Hart's book, My Life in Wrestling, this drew $102,000 at the box office. A massive, massive success. And what I should say about this is, you know, right off the top, we're only talking about four matches, because only four of these matches actually aired on television. So the way they would do this with these major events is they would take a few of the matches and they would split them across their weekly television. And their TV, of course, aired in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, but they also had syndication all over the United States. They had it globally. They had a major presence over in Israel. And so, I mean, this had a big foothold across the globe, not just in Dallas. And a lot of people would see this in syndication after the fact. As I said, only four of the matches actually aired in syndication. And I mean, I was looking, I could not find any of the other matches out there, you know. So we can mention the undercard and then get to the actual matches that were shown and that we can review. And according to cagematch.net, this is what else was on the show. So they opened with Brian Adias defeating Frank Dushek. They had a tag team match with Al Madrill and Jose Lothario defeating Checkmate and the Magic Dragon.
Checkmate might be my favorite name in the entire promotion. He was tremendous in that battle royal as well.
Yeah, we will see him again for sure. And some of these people, they work multiple times throughout the night, so we might hear some of these names again. We've got Lone Eagle defeating Little Tokyo, and they David Von Erich, Texas heavyweight title match, defeated Bill Irwin. Both of those guys also on the show later.
And they had just changed the name of that championship. It was the World Class Television Championship in the middle of 82. Then Bill Irwin won it, and I believe they made it the Texas Heavyweight Championship a couple months later.
Perfect. Great call. There you go. And that, with those four said, that leads us to the other four. So we can go through them, how they aired on television. And the way this airs on television is Bill Mercer, of course, welcomes us to the show. He pretty much immediately throws it to a backstage interview with David and Kevin Von Erich. And they're talking about the creation of the six-man titles that we're going to have crowned here in just a minute. It's the first time World Class has crowned six-man champions. And I didn't research this, but was this the first time any promotion had a six-man title?
Oh, boy. Yeah, I don't know. I didn't look into it that either. It might have been.
I was going to look at it into it, and I ran out of time, but I can't think of anyone, to my knowledge, that had six-man titles before this in 1982. So it might have been the first. Yeah, it might have been the first six-man tag titles in wrestling, at least in North America, that I'm aware of. So they're talking about that. They talk about how the Von Erichs will have a shot at these titles eventually. Even if Kerry wins the world championship against Ric Flair later in the show, they talk about how the three brothers want to eventually become six-man champions. And then Kevin says he's not blowing smoke up anyone's balloon. He says he doesn't know much about the Freebirds. He says again that he wishes they could be involved in the six-man title match, but Kerry has a world title match to be worrying about. What did you guys think of the delivery here?
They just have too many championships.
Well, that's right, Bill. You know, we're looking forward to whoever may win this title tonight. Really, we favor the Freebirds. I think they're a better team than the Sharps and Steel. But we are next in line, and we have Kerry and I. Since Kerry is wrestling world champion tonight, we couldn't be involved in this round-robin tournament. But the Von Erichs will prevail, and we will get our shot. Even though Kerry will be the world heavyweight champion after tonight, we will have our shot at taking the six-man world heavyweight championship. And I'm sure that everybody out there watching this knows, and I'm not just blowing smoke up anybody else's balloon or anything like that. I really mean it through my heart and from my heart, because we have you people backing us. And I know that we can beat anybody, any six-man tag team combination in the country
Let's
today.
Go brag. You know, Dave's got a real good point there, Bill. I haven't seen the Freebirds that much, but Dave, they're good buddies with his, and I feel like they're really going to be a tough team. I haven't had a chance to watch, but if the Von Erichs were in there, the three of us being brothers, I don't think there's any way we could be stopped. But the situation being the way it is with Kerry with the world champion, all we can do is stick it out and wrestle in our individual matches. I wish we had a shot at it, though.
Really, it's really going to be a big night, and I'm looking forward to it. I wish Kerry the very best, and one of these days I think we'll be the six-man champions.
And certainly
I mean, I don't think the Von Erichs were really known for their promos, and it shows in this entire show, in my opinion. It's always kind of stunted a little bit, or are a little bit unsure of themselves.
I mean, we can maybe wait till later on David, but I mean, Kevin and Kerry, you could tell, had something. And everyone said David was the best of the three.
He's not good on this show. He got better, but yeah, he comes across pretty weak on this show for sure.
Right. And when I looked at him, by the way, I could not help but read it in a Bill Walton-like voice, because he looks like a miniature Bill Walton.
He does.
Blowing smoke up people's balloon.
It's like, which, I mean, I didn't think he was too bad before the six-man match, because he gave a very, very brief promo there. Mm-hmm. I don't know, in front of the cameras, not quite as good as maybe, you know, in the heat of the moment.
Yeah. Yeah, so that brings us to the world-class six-man tag titles, which if you actually, let's see. Okay, this is not right. Hold on. Cage Match has this wrong. So I had written in my notes at first that it was actually the semi-main, but it was not. The last match that went on that night was actually the pole match, believe it or not, which is kind of odd match placement. You put that out there after the cage match with Kerry Von Erich and Ric Flair. I see you nodding too, Jesse.
We want to send the crowd home happy with a Ken Mantell pole battle royal victory. Oh, no.
I loved the graphics they put up for that battle royal, because it said $10,000 pole battle royal. It's like, come on, buddies, phrasing. You're missing some words in there.
Yeah.
Who's going to have that $10,000 pole?
Yeah. So no, they actually, the way they aired in on TV is in correct chronological order. I believe Wikipedia has this right, and Cage Match does not. So like all those matches that we just ran through, that was the undercard. That was the first four matches. Mm-hmm. Fifth match on the show, yeah, is